Hallelujah. Stop. Praise the Lord. Greetings to you all in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God for this beautiful morning that He has given us so that we can come together to worship Him. Just as we have been hearing this morning, as we have been spending time in God's presence, God is telling us not to fret, not to be worried. He has given us peace and prosperity. He promises us that when the wicked go away, and they will be destroyed, they will be no more. So we don't have to fret because God has given us peace. Hallelujah. Christu vil kittiya samadhanam. The peace that comes in knowing Jesus Christ is incomparable to anything that we receive in the world. Praise God that we get to listen to such a wonderful word this morning through God's servant. Today, we will be starting a new series. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of John. We're going to be studying, going through chapter by chapter, by portions of the Gospel of John. We'll be starting this book, which is the Gospel of John. We finished Romans, and now we're going to go to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is one of my favorite books. Most times when we give a person who has just been saved, we tell them to start reading from where? The Gospel of John. We give them either a book which has just the Gospel of John, or when we give them a Bible, we mark that page, which is the Gospel of John, and say, don't read from Genesis, read from Gospel of John first, and read. Then we say, go to Matthew, Mark, and Luke and read. The reason why we tell the Gospel of John to read first is because it is very clear and very precisely written there that Jesus is God. Yeshu Christu Devamanam Trutva Devam Patti Padipikkan Pattunna Oru Suvisheshamanu Yohanan Ezhuthiya Suvisheshamanu. John wrote this gospel and he is an eyewitness. He is a person who is an eyewitness to all of these things. When we read the Gospel of John also, it is beautifully laid out how the gospel is written. There's a lot of things in this gospel. ഈ സുവിശേഷം നമ്മൾ നോക്കി പഠിച്ചാൽ ആദ്യത്തെ മൂന്ന് സുവിശേഷം വെച്ച് കമ്പയർ ചെയ്യുമ്പോൾ ഒത്തിരി ഡിഫറൻസ് ഉള്ള ഒരു സുവിശേഷമാണ് യോഹന്നാൻ എഴുതിയ സുവിശേഷം. മത്തായി എഴുതിയ സുവിശേഷം, മാർക്കോസ് എഴുതിയ സുവിശേഷം, ലൂക്കോസ് എഴുതിയ സുവിശേഷം നിന്ന് ഒത്തിരി ഡിഫറെന്റ് ആയിട്ടുള്ള ഒരു സുവിശേഷമാണ് യോഹന്നാൻ എഴുതിയ സുവിശേഷം. When we compare the four gospels, the first three gospels and this gospel, the gospel of John, are remarkably different from one another. Even though they are four gospels and they are all talking about the life of Jesus Christ as he lived on earth, the first three gospels are considered, put together as called the synoptic gospels. Their way that they have written, the language that is written, and the format they follow and how Jesus's lives play out is very, very, very similar. You can compare, if you're reading Matthew and Luke, you'll see a lot of Mark that is being portrayed from them. They build on the Gospel of Mark. When we look at the Gospel of John, John knows that these Gospels exist. John knows that these Gospels are written, or it's already being spread out. So he is going to give extra information. He is giving a very personal account of being that disciple that leaned on the bosom of Jesus. That disciple who claimed that he is the most loved disciple. That becomes his claim throughout the gospel. So when we are just looking at the scripture, at the very start itself, he begins very powerfully and he starts declaring from creation how Jesus existed as God, as the Logos, as the Word. And so this gospel is one of the most fundamental in a Christian person's understanding, not only of Jesus Christ, not only of God the Father, not only of the Holy Spirit, but also about Jesus' identity. A lot of times when we go and meet Muslims they have fight against Christians saying that, Jesus never said that he is God. There is no portion in the Gospels. They say, show me anywhere in the Gospels where Jesus is saying or Jesus is equated to as God. Easily you can take them to John chapter 1 and show them that Jesus is God and he equates himself to God. There's a lot of things to learn in this gospel, and we will be taking our sweet time to understand this. The seven I am statements. I am who I am. As he revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush as Yahweh, there are seven I am statements. The number seven features a lot in this gospel. Seven shows completion. It also repeats itself in the book of Revelation, who has the same author, we believe. And so this statement of seven, it becomes really recurrent even in this point. There are seven signs, starting with the marriage of Cana, ending with Lazarus being raised from the dead. There are seven signs. There are festivals. The Jewish festivals that are being celebrated are being elaborated here. And Jesus is seen as the fulfillment of the Jewish festivals. There are so many things in this book. There is multiple times that Jesus is being referred to as the grace, as the glory, as the word, as the light. And so these things we're going to learn. And so we look more into this gospel, we're going to understand the depths of knowing Jesus Christ in a very intimate way. When we come out of this gospel, I pray that we will be just like John, leaning on the bosom of Jesus, leaning on his chest and saying, oh, how you love us. And we feel that we are that disciple who's loved by Jesus the most. That's what the gospel of John should do to any disciple who truly studies it and really wants to immerse themselves deep into scripture. So this morning, we're going to be looking at John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. We're looking at the prologue, the beginning, the start of this book. Let us read the first verse. Yohanan in the association onnam adhyayam onnam vakyam. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Hallelujah. It's the starting itself. It's very clear that in the beginning, and this word itself saying in the beginning should remind us of what we hear from creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. It is the starting of all of scriptures. It says, in the beginning, God created. Here, John uses that same language to say, in the beginning was the word. And John uses the same language later on in his letters. If you turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, only Yohanan eluthiya leganam, the letter. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. If you read that, you will find the same language is used in there as well. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The same word that is being used by John as an introduction to the gospel is found here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, which is again saying that we have seen this word. Peter also says this. Peter says, what we have seen, we tell you. What we have experienced, the miraculous things we experience, we're telling you. How does John end this gospel? John ends his gospel by saying, if all the things that Jesus did in his lifetime were to be written, the books of the world could not contain it. Now, during this time, it'll be thinking, oh, maybe they didn't have the printing press, so maybe they didn't have a lot of books. You know, we could think like that, but that's not true. In Alexandria, which is a Roman city in North Africa, they had the most biggest library in the entire world. No library contains that amount of information as the library in Alexandria. Every book was made copied in multiple languages by hand in Alexandria, the city. When the fire came and burned this great Alexandrian library, the secrets of how to build the pyramids, to this day, no human being knows how the pyramids were built in Egypt. the secrets of how to measure the sun and the moon and how distant it was from the earth and the circumference of the earth was already all calculated even before Galileo and Copernicus came in the medieval times. These thinking, thoughts, ideas, calculations of how to do these things have been lost for all of mankind because of the great fire that came in the Alexandrian library. There was great knowledge. I would argue that there was knowledge even more than we have today. Even with technology at our hands and our fingertips and with the resources that we have of the internet, to this day, people don't understand how people in the past built certain things. They are just wonders. We don't know how they've done it. But people that time had knowledge that was much more immense and powerful. Even with all our technology today, we are still lacking. So during that time, there were a vast number of books. John knows this. And John says, all of the books in the world cannot contain what Jesus has accomplished in his lifetime. That is how he ends the gospel. So when we look at this gospel is not meant to sum up everything that Jesus did in his lifetime. That's not John's aim. What is John's aim? Why is he writing this book? What is the purpose behind John writing this book? Let us go to John chapter 20, verse 31. John chapter 20, verse 31. John chapter 20, verse 31 reads, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." This statement comes right after the disciple Thomas tells Jesus, "Can you reveal yourself to me?" Doubting Thomas, we call him. And that doubting Thomas came to Kerala, according to our belief. We are still doubting. We are still learning. So here he came to India, and then people say that he died in Tamil Nadu. He landed in Kerala, most likely. But when we see here, how does Thomas react when he says, in verse 28, he says, "Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" He illustrates the ending saying, "Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my God." That is the purpose why John wrote this gospel in verse 31. Just a few verses down, he said, let's read verse 30. "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The whole purpose of writing this book is so that we will have life in Jesus Christ. We start learning about what does it mean to be born again. He has this conversation about Nicodemus. We have this idea that God, Jesus says, "My hour has not yet come." He tells this to his mother at the wedding at Cana. He says, "My hour has not yet come." What does he mean by saying, "My hour has not yet come"? Again and again and again, as we progress through the Gospel of John, it says, "My hour has not yet come." But when we hit one chapter, "The hour has come." What is this hour? This is all things. There are mysteries in this book. Now, your question may be, how do you know that John wrote this gospel? It's true. Throughout this letter, we don't know. Never is it said that it is John who's writing the gospel. We know it's John because we say gospel according to John. യോഹന്നാന്റെ സുവിശേഷം എന്ന് വായിക്കുമ്പോൾ നമുക്കറിയാം യോഹന്നാൻ എഴുതിയ സുവിശേഷമാണ്. പക്ഷെ നമ്മൾ സുവിശേഷം വായിക്കുമ്പോൾ, when we read the gospel itself, does it say that it is John? How do we know? How can we be confident? Let us take John chapter 21, verse 24. യോഹന്നാൻ എഴുതിയ സുവിശേഷം 21 അധ്യായം 24 വാക്യം. "This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true." This is a letter that was written by the disciple Throughout the gospel, we see a disciple who is loved by Jesus, or loved, the disciple who Jesus loved the most. That keeps appearing again and again and again. And then when we come here, this is the disciple who's testifying to these things. This is an eyewitness account. It is said later in this gospel itself, this is an eyewitness account. Who is an eyewitness? Who is one of the 12 disciples who's very closely related to Peter and is not mentioned? And when we compare his languages with the other letters that he's written, it is clearly the Apostle John, that one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. This was written very early, and this is very clear. This the one of the earliest Christian documents that we have. It's a piece called the P52 Papyrus. It is found in North Africa. It's a papyrus that had contained verses from the Gospel of John. They dated it, and the latest date they can give it is 150 AD, which means that by 150 AD, 125 AD, already multiple copies of John's letter is being circulated. Let me explain. Making multiple copies of a letter is not easy. There is no fax machine, or there is no Xerox machine that just copy and then print it and make multiple copies. They had to do it by hand, which means that there were people and scribes who read this book and then made multiple copies of it and then carried it and dispersed it into the various corners of the globe. Very early on, this gospel is well accounted for historically, geographically, and in its literary content itself. It is very deep. So when we are looking at this word, it says, in the beginning was the word. What is this word that we see there? Greek, that word is used as logos. The word there, logos, is the same word from which our English word logic comes from. Logic comes from the word logos in Greek, and it's the same root which is used there. What is this word? Same like when we use a word, like naturally when we use a letter and we are writing things, we use words. It contains the word word, but it also contains the rationality behind it. What is logic? Logic, if you go to Tyndale or you take philosophy courses at school, there is an entire course that you can take in semester called logic. Logic is about understanding and rationality. So, in the beginning was logic, or in the beginning was rationality, in the beginning was thought. This thought, this word, this rationality, this logic is playing on certain things that is built on in the Old Testament. If you read Proverbs chapter 3 and Proverbs chapter 8, we don't have to take that. If you take, we can see that wisdom is being compared to this a person who was there with God in creation. God's firstborn was considered wisdom. My firstborn of all creation was considered wisdom. And Jewish teaching was that this creation or wisdom was used and was deeply involved in the purposes of creation. We compare Proverbs chapter 8 and you read all of that, you will see that wisdom is taking complete action and doing the works of creation of God. You can even read that in Psalm 33. You can also find that in Psalm 147. Psalm 147 compares the wisdom of God to the laws of God. Devathinte pramanangal and Devathinte word become one. This is the law of God. I'll just take that portion so we are clear about that. Psalm 147, the last two verses of that psalm. Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20. It says, he has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his law. Praise the Lord. So this idea that the law that was given to Israelites had the word of God. Remember, what is the word of God? The word of God is power. The word of God is logic. The word of God is wisdom. The word of God is law, his commandments, his speaking things, the things that he speaks. And this word of God is personified. It is not just something that is just like when we speak, do the words that I speak become a living thing? No. The words that I have just come from my mouth and you're hearing it, but it's not a living thing. But the word of God is so powerful. It is life. It has power. It is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. You see, Jewish people understood that this word of God, this teaching, it's if you read the Dead Sea Scroll, the Qumran cave scrolls, already this teaching has already been revealed in the letters that they have. So early on in Christian tradition, they did not understand why these words are being used. They thought John was trying to speak against Greek philosophy. But after the Dead Sea Scrolls were released and they were discovered in the world in 1950s onwards, and they started studying the books and the contents of the book, they understood that this was Jewish thought. They already had this figured out. They believed that the Sophia in the Proverbs, which is wisdom, and this creation was taking place with an agent that was the firstborn of God. And they already had this concept. John is just making light of this concept and saying that wisdom came down to be and live with human beings. That wisdom came down and lived with human beings. For what? What is the purpose of this being coming down and living in us? Because he had life and he wanted to bring the light of all mankind. When God created human beings, he placed them in a perfect world. But what did human beings do? They corrupted all of God's creation, subjected it to shame, and darkness entered into the world. Death entered into the world. So God needed to make a way where his light would shine and fight against the darkness. You see, number one, Muriel Kurumbol, when you go into a room where there is curtains on the windows and everything, the light is off and everything is dark, it is dark. There's nothing that can be done. That was the state of humankind. It was covered in darkness. There was no hope. He could not see. They were blind. So God had to turn on the lights. What did God say first in creation? Let there be light. And he turned on the lights of creation in the original creation. In the same way, Jesus had to manifest himself into a world filled with darkness so that God could say, let there be light in humanity. Let there be light for mankind. Let there be light for creation. Because we were lacking. We were so dark. We were filled with sin. We had no hope. We were blind. But God said, let there be light, and sent his son, who was not just the word, not just logos, but the light of all mankind. We were filled with death, meaning we were dead in our sins. We had no hope. And God said, let there be life. Let there be life. That's what creation was about. Creation was about God bringing light into a world that was filled with chaos and darkness. What was the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters, and the earth was empty and void and dark and chaotic. And God said, let there be light. What was the next thing he did? He brought order to the chaos. Our life was chaotic. God brought order where he needed to separate. He said, let the heavens and the earth be separate. He separated the waters and the mountains and the land. He separated the firmament and the clouds and the sky. He separated. He brought order to the chaos. What else did he do? When he brought order, he brought life to fill that order. Water was empty. God brought life. The air was empty. God brought life. The land was empty. God brought life. To this day, human beings do not understand how life came to be on this earth. You can make up all theory. You can talk about evolution. You can talk about all these different things. But where did life originate? No one has the answer. It is impossible to understand that unless God says, let there be life. So first he said, let there be light. Then he brought order. Then he brought life. And that is how we understand Jesus doing on earth. John, from the very outset of this book, very start of this chapter, has already declared what Jesus is done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do. He is bringing life. He is bringing light. He is bringing order. This is exactly what God did in the beginning of creation to a physical earth. Now, God is doing that to the cosmos. In the Greek word here is cosmos, which is for us, we understand the cosmos as the universe. But in here, cosmos is the word Greek cosmos is used to define all of mankind. The creation of mankind was dark, empty, void, and chaotic. That was the cosmos that Jesus came. He was created as a human being. He put on flesh so that he could do something new, a new creation in mankind. And this will be fulfilled when he says, you will become the children of God. What is this? Let us read verse 12 and 13. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Again, what was Adam and Eve? Where were they born of? Did they have parents? No. God was their parent. God formed them and put breath into their lungs and formed a spirit of physical creation. Why did Jesus come? So that he could form a new creation. How was this creation possible? To create a new humanity, to make himself children of God, not children of Adam, not children of Eve, but to be children of God. How were they born? How were this born? That is when we are going to read John chapter 3, where Jesus speaks to Nicodemus and says, you are born of natural way, but there is one who is being born of the spirit. Atmavil janicha makkal, ana devathinte makkal. Nammale kaanunnathu nammal ee shareerathil aanengilum nammalde agathu oru pudhiya manushyan atmavil janichu. There is a new human being that is being born by the Spirit of God inside of us. Nobody can see. God says, where are these people coming from? How are they born? Just like the wind comes. You don't know where it is coming, where it is going. Such a mystery it is, in the same way it has happened that people are being born of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We are reading that and we are talking about what does it mean? Why did Jesus come? Yeshu Christu, yendinana, ee thana bhoomilotta vannathu. Why did he come? Verse 9, the true light that give light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. To understand this, ee logathe srishtichathu aara, nammalde devamaanu. ക്രിസ്തുവാണ് ഈ ലോകത്തെ സൃഷ്ടിച്ചത്. ക്രൈസ്റ്റ്, ജീസസ് ക്രൈസ്റ്റ്, ഗോഡ് ഇസ് ദ വൺ ഹു ക്രിയേറ്റഡ് ദി എൻറ്റയർ വേൾഡ്. ആൻഡ് യെറ്റ് വെൻ ഹി കെയിം ടു ദിസ് വേൾഡ്, ദ പീപ്പിൾ ഓഫ് ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ചോസ് ഡാർക്ക്നെസ് ദാൻ ദ ലൈറ്റ്. I often divide the people of this world into two groups. ee logathile you can divide namukku rendu tattile aalkare vibhajikkam. We can divide them into two different groups. One is like a cockroach, other is like the moth. I know most of you know what a cockroach and a moth is. None of us like cockroaches, but let's go into a room. Most of us, our houses, we don't have cockroaches here. But in India or in the Middle East, you have seen them. If you go into a kitchen and there's a cockroach, you turn the light on, what happens? The cockroach just runs into the corner. It is looking for a place to hide where it is dark. Does the cockroach just sit there and be like, okay, maybe he won't see me? No, it is running away in the corner to find darkness. What about the moth? When you turn on the light, what does the moth do? Moth goes immediately to the light. This is exactly how humanity is. There are two groups. When Jesus came on the earth, he turned on the light. But what happened? The cockroaches are more and they are running for darkness. But what the moths do, they are finding the light and going to it. When you go in India and you put this lamp, നമ്മള് പണ്ട് കാലത്തില് കറണ്ട് കട്ട് ഉള്ളപ്പോൾ നമ്മള് എന്താ കെറോസീൻ ലാമ്പ് എടുത്തല്ലേ, വി പുട്ട് കെറോസീൻ ലാമ്പ് ആൻഡ് വി ലൈറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് കറണ്ട് ഇസ് ഗോൺ. സോ ഇറ്റ് വാസ് നൗ ഓൾ വി ഹാവ് സോളാർ യുനോ പവേർഡ് ലൈറ്റ്സ് ആൻഡ് ലൈറ്റ്സ് ദാറ്റ് വി ആർ ചാർജിങ് ഓൾ ഡേ ടു പുട്ട് ദ ലൈറ്റ്സ്. ബട്ട് ഇൻ ദി ഓൾഡ് ടൈംസ് വി ഹാഡ് ദ കെറോസീൻ ലാമ്പ്, വി വിൽ പുട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ഔട്ട്സൈഡ് ആൻഡ് വാട്ട് ദീസ് ഇൻസെക്ട്സ് വിൽ കം. They will come to the fire and burn themselves. They'll come and come. You can just see it flickering. But why are they doing this? I don't know. But this is what the life of a Christian should be. The life of a Christian should be join the light where they become one with the fire. One with the light, they will die and they will join the fire. The cockroach will run towards the darkness. But what does the moth do? It will run towards the light. In the same way, Christians who are born of God, to be born of God, you got to run towards the light. Velachathode odanam, you have to run towards the light. Don't be like a cockroach. The cockroach knows it's ugly. You say, cockroach knows it's ugly, so it will go towards the darkness to hide its ugliness. Okay? It's also a reason why, when we go into these restaurants and stuff, they turn off the light a little bit, they make it dull, so that when you look at the other person in the sitting, you don't see all their flaws. Even these mirrors also, they kind of dim the mirrors a little bit, so you don't see all your flaws. It's a dim light means you can't see clearly. Okay, so that time you don't see that much glaring of all the flaws and infirmities on your face. But if you want to see what is wrong with you, you have to turn on the light and take a good look. Look at the moth. You think the moth is beautiful? Oh, it looks ugly too. And I'm not thinking of a butterfly, but the moth is ugly. It comes closer to the light. What happens? Its ugliness is more exposed. But it keeps going closer and closer, revealing its more ugliness, but it gets consumed by God in the end. It gets consumed by fire in the end. And then the fire and the moth becomes indistinguishable. They become one. The same way, when we come close to the light, God reveals to us the ugliness of our sin, the blindness that we have, the chaos that we have, the emptiness that we have, the void that we have. But when we come close to God, God gave us life and made himself light so that we can be one with him and we can be clean, we can be pure, we can be righteous. But the world rejects this. There is a constant battle right now for darkness to suppress the light. വെളിച്ചത്തെ എങ്ങനെ ഇല്ലാതാക്കാൻ അന്ധകാര ശത്രു, ഈ ഫോഴ്സസ് ഓഫ് ഡാർക്ക്നെസ് ആർ ട്രൈങ് ടു ക്രഷ് ഔട്ട് ദ ലൈറ്റ്. വി ആർ ദ ലൈറ്റ് ഓഫ് ദ വേൾഡ്. നമ്മൾ ലോകത്തിന്റെ വെളിച്ചമാകുന്നു. ആൻഡ് ഗോഡ് ആൻഡ് ദി എനിമി, ശത്രു നമ്മളെ ഇല്ലാതാക്കാൻ നോക്കുന്നു, ശ്രമിക്കുന്നു. എന്നാൽ നമ്മളിൽ ഉള്ളിൽ ക്രിസ്തുവിന്റെ വെളിച്ചം ഉണ്ട്. If the light of Jesus Christ is in us, no power of darkness can overcome us. Hallelujah. The powers of darkness could not overcome Jesus. The same power of darkness cannot overcome his children who are anointed by the Spirit of God. Use the authority, children of God, to speak over the powers of darkness, because they have no power over us. Who has power over us? God. We are his children. We are born of the Spirit. We are born of God. We are born of light. Let us read verse 14 and then I will end it quickly. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This Word, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling. This word dwelling means tabernacle. Meaning that in the Old Testament, they had a tent of meeting or a tabernacle where God's presence, his glory was. This tabernacle now came to live with us. In the book of Deuteronomy, God says, I desire to walk with you. I desire to live with you. But I can't because of your sin, because of your unholiness. I cannot live with you, but I desire to do so. Anytime the Israelites who were traveling through Egypt, through the land of, to the land of Canaan, as they were traveling, whenever sin came up, what happened? A plague came, snakes came, famine came, punishment came, armies came. Why? Because God's presence was too powerful and could not tolerate sin. But here, Jesus comes as the living temple and then makes us righteous so that we don't have to suffer calamities in our body. This word saying he came from the Father full of grace and truth, charis, grace and truth, is the same thing as Hebrew as loving kindness and faithfulness. That loving kindness, that sneham, that karuna, that deya, that word is completed in this word charis or grace in Greek. And truth is faithfulness. Devathinte vishwasthada is communicated in these Greek words. Now, verse 16 to 18. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth, same, remember, grace and truth, came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. What is being said here is that John is saying, you are talking and you're holding on to the law of Moses. Moshe kodutha pramanangalana ningal following the laws of Moses. Moses did not see God. Exodus chapter 33, Moses says, God, can I see you? And God says, no one can see me, because if you see me, you will die. Do you know that in the Bible, even the angels who surround Jesus cannot see God? They use their wings to cover their face. The angels who are in God's presence 24/7 are covering their face because they cannot see God. That God who lives in unapproachable light came and contained himself in the tent of meeting, in a tabernacle, in the Ark of the Covenant, in Jesus Christ, and made himself. Who is this Christ? Christ is the only person who's seen the Father. Pidavne kanda only being. ഓൺലി ബീങ് ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് ടു സീ ദ ഫാദർ, ദൈവത്തിനെ യഥാർത്ഥത്തിൽ കണ്ടത് ഓൺലി യേശു ക്രിസ്തുവേയുള്ളൂ. ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഫിലിപ്പ് ലേറ്റർ ഓൺ ഇൻ ദ ഗോസ്പിൾ ഓഫ് ജോൺ വിൽ ആസ്ക്, ജസ്റ്റ് ഷോ അസ് ദ ഫാദർ, നമ്മൾ ജസ്റ്റ് ഷോ മീ ദ ഫാദർ, വാട്ട് ഡസ് ജീസസ് സേ? ഫിലിപ്പ്, ഡു യു നോട്ട് നോ, ഇഫ് യു ഹാവ് സീൻ മീ, യു ഹാവ് സീൻ ദ ഫാദർ. നിങ്ങൾ എന്നെ കണ്ടെങ്കിൽ നിങ്ങൾ പിതാവിനെയും കണ്ടു. നമ്മൾക്ക് കാണാൻ പറ്റാത്ത പിതാവിനെ നമുക്ക് കാണാൻ ആക്കിയ, ദ വൺ ഹു വാസ് ഇംപോസിബിൾ ടു സീ ബിക്കംസ് പോസിബിൾ ടു സീ ഇൻ ജീസസ് ക്രൈസ്റ്റ്. His love is so immense, so powerful, so valuable that he created a new creation. Oru pudhiya srishtine thodangi, a pudhiya creation thodangi. Pandatha srishti nammude shareerathil aanengil, pudhiya srishti aathmaavilana. If the old creation, the original creation, was in physical body, the new creation is in the spiritual body. This is just the beginning. ഇത് തുടക്കമേ ഉള്ളൂ. This is just the prologue. This is when we go through the Gospel of John. If you have already understood this, you are already more in love with Jesus. ഇതാണ് എൻ്റെ സ്നേഹിതൻ. ഇതാണ് my husband. He is my love. He is my God. He is my Jesus. He is my light. He is my life. You already fell in love with him. ഇത് നമ്മൾ ചിന്തിക്കുമ്പോൾ, ധ്യാനിക്കുമ്പോൾ നമ്മളുടെ ആഗ്രഹം ക്രിസ്തുവിനോട്, ലൈക്ക് അവർ ഡിസയർ ഫോർ ജീസസ് വിൽ ഇൻക്രീസ്. ബൈ ദി എൻഡ് ഓഫ് ദിസ് ബുക്ക്, വെൻ വി റീച്ച് ദി എൻഡ് ഓഫ് ജോൺ, ഐ ബിലീവ് യു വിൽ ബി കൺവിൻസ്ഡ് ദാറ്റ് യു ആർ ദ ഡിസൈപ്പിൾ ഹോം ജീസസ് ലവ്സ് ആൻഡ് യു വിൽ ബി റെസ്റ്റിംഗ് ഓൺ ഹിസ് ബോസം ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് ജോൺ ഡിഡ്. That is my prayer, that by the end, as we are going through the book of John, we will lean on Jesus and know that we are most loved by him. That is our prayer. This is not just limited to John experiencing this. It is for all of us to experience being the disciple that is most loved by Jesus. And just like Moses did not see God, only saw a form, only saw an idea, only saw the glory of God. In the same way, Jesus has seen God, is the Father, and is making the Father known. We get to know the Father. And this is eternal life. What is eternal life? To know God. Devathe ariyuvanana nithya jeevitham. And I preached on Romans chapter 1. It's going to be almost 1 year since I preached that message. And I preached that from Romans chapter 1. I said, what is eternal life? To know Jesus. I took it from the Gospel of John. And I was preaching from Romans chapter 1. We're going to hit that verse again. And I will say, what is eternal life? It begins now. If you know Jesus, if you know the Father, your eternal life has already begun. Hallelujah. May God bless us with these words. Father God, we thank you for your presence. We submit and we surrender ourselves to this word that you have spoken. Where we were filled with darkness, where we were filled with void, where we were chaotic, where we were empty, you did a new creation. You did a new thing. You brought order to our life. You brought light into our life. You brought life into our life, God. Father, the powers of darkness have no hold on us. We rebuke and reject any power of darkness that is not of you. We pray, Father, Lord Jesus, that we will walk as the light of the world, just as you walked, Father. We are your children. We are born by your Spirit, and we want to learn and walk with you. Will you teach us to love you more? And will you show us that we are most loved by you? We are the disciple that is most loved by you. And Lord, I pray that each of us who are listening to this word will lean on your bosom. will lean on your chest and hear the gentle, loving words that you have to say to us. Just like a partner is intimate with their partner by leaning on one another to hear the soft, sweet words that they have to speak. I pray, Father, that we will lean on you and hear the sweet words that you have to tell to your church that is full of grace and strength and truth and faithfulness. We surrender ourselves to your words. Help us to fall in love with you more, deeper in revelation with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless us with these words.